Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, we're all on the way here Wednesday, finally, live with you, and thanks for everybody's concern. I have been under the weather, and it's not so much under the weather that's been the problem. I haven't had a voice the last couple days, so I'm back, and I think I can make it through the hour. Thanks for all the tweets and the texts and the calls to the station, even those that wondered if I got fired or not, but still here. We're still doing this every day at 11 o'clock, and sorry to miss for a couple days. But back with you, and we'll be here for the rest of the week moving forward, barring anything unforeseen, and I'm glad to be with you. Although, I must say, if I was going to pick a time to be sick or to not have a voice, probably a good time to do so. The Hoosiers in the midst of a 3-game losing streak, including one of the more frustrating losses I think that Indiana has had this season, and maybe even beyond this season, was the game, the loss 66-51. Monday night to Nebraska at Assembly Hall. Indiana just never in it, never could get going. Another slow start by this Indiana team. And I tell you what, to look at the losses, it's really the first disappointing loss of the season. You go back to November 18th, IU lost on the road at Arkansas. Okay, they lost on a last-second miss that bounced around on the rim for what seemed like eternity. At a tough place like Fayetteville, Arkansas, not that big a deal. Understandable that they would lose. Yes, there could be some disappointment in the loss on November 27th to Duke because they got blasted. It wasn't competitive. They got beat 90-69. So I could see a little disappointment there, but it's Duke, and they're loaded. And at that time, they were playing extremely good college basketball, loaded with prospects and stars. So you can understand it. Then the Michigan game, since the new year, very understandable to go to Michigan. They got off to a terrible start, like normal, but still were able to make it competitive and lose 74-63, giving you hope that when they take on Michigan in a very important game later this month at home, that maybe they can beat them on the friendly confines of Assembly Hall. The loss at Maryland, to be honest with you, the more I learned about Maryland in the week leading up to the game, not that concerning of a loss. It's tough to play on the road. It's a long road trip. Maryland's good. They've got some young players who've come along to mix in with their upperclassmen. It really wasn't that bad of a loss, in my opinion. Also, in that game, even though IU lost, they got off to a good start. They actually took a lead. It was holding on to that lead that was the problem down the stretch in that game for Indiana. Really not concerned about that loss. But then you come back after losing for the first time all season, two consecutive games. Big Ten Conference play obviously well underway. We know how tough road games are, and we know how good the conference is across the board this year. So you come back home for a Monday night game with Nebraska, who's no slouch, but a team that Indiana should beat at home. And not only do they not beat Nebraska, they get off to another terrible start, lackluster defense at times, turn the ball over just silly, and lose really never competitive 66-51. So I share the frustration. No question, Indiana not clicking right now, not playing good basketball, and that's disappointing coming off a 3-point road loss at Maryland where I thought they played pretty well. Romeo had a great game against Maryland. That was fun to watch. And then even the Michigan game, signs of battling back, signs of some toughness on the road, which you're going to need in this Big Ten Conference season. Not what I expected, not what I think you expected on Monday. And the concerning point is, if this team can't bounce back to pre-Nebraska game, even though it was loss, two losses before that, if they can't bounce back to pre-Nebraska game basketball, how they were playing, and it wasn't always great. There were a lot of slow starts. They've got at Purdue. They've got at Northwestern. They've got Michigan at home. They've got Rutgers, who beat Ohio State last week, at Michigan State to start the month of February. It's a tough stretch, and it's not just between now and the end of the month or now in the Michigan State game. It's a tough stretch all the way through because it's the Big Ten Conference, and it's competitive, and the road environments are so tough, and road wins are so difficult to get, even against a Nebraska or even against a Rutgers type team that's at the bottom of the conference. It's not an easy place to play, which is why when Nebraska comes to Assembly Hall, you've got to get the victory. You just have to in this ultra competitive conference. So I know there's a lot of frustration right now with IU basketball. To be honest, outside of Romeo Langford, and he didn't even have his best game on Monday night, Juwan Morgan as well. A lot of frustration with some of the players, and we're going to talk about all of it this week and get you ready for the next game coming up on Saturday, which is very important. It's not only a road game at West Lafayette, but it's a rivalry game, one of the protected rivalries now in the Big Ten Conference, which means there will always be a home and away with Purdue. And it's a big one for Indiana. It's a bounce-back opportunity. You win at Purdue on Saturday. A lot of the disappointment specifically about the Nebraska game, but about three losses in the row, will be forgotten. Then you go to at Northwestern, another winnable game, even though it's on the road in Evanston for this team, still a winnable game. And then, of course, Michigan comes back to Assembly Hall. That's going to be very, very tough unless Indiana completely steps it up to another level, maybe even a level that we haven't seen so far this year. But we'll talk about all of it and more. Glad to be back with you. Again, sorry, no shows Monday or Tuesday. I think I've got my voice back on a decent level, and so we'll roll here with this Wednesday show live. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We'll take a look at some IU basketball stuff, a couple big high school games coming up this weekend, touch on IU basketball recruiting as well in the first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Then segment two, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. He is always with me on Wednesdays. Have some good chats about IU basketball with him. We'll get his thoughts on this team and their struggles and how important this game is Saturday, not just in Big Ten standings, not just for fans because it's Purdue in a rivalry game, but for this team to bounce back and have an opportunity to still finish at or near the top of the Big Ten Conference. And again, if you're going to win this conference, if you're going to be in the top one, two, maybe even three of this conference, you're going to have to win your home games. And you're going to have to beat even a good team, a solid team like Nebraska, when they come to your home court. So we'll talk with Jeff about that. We'll touch in on a little recruiting as well with Jeff when he's with us later in the program today. Then segment three, Joe Luce, the coach of Jeffersonville, will be with me. We'll get an update on the Red Devils. They're playing some good high school basketball. They defeated Floyd Central in a last-second situation. Darren Starks with a big three-pointer on Friday night to lift the Red Devils over Floyd Central. And a big loss for the Highlanders, a big win for the Red Devils. Look at that final score. Look how close that game was. Again, you think ahead to the sectional at Seymour. I've said this probably 30 times since the start of the high school season. You look at that Seymour sectional with Jeff and Floyd Central and New Albany, probably trailing a little behind those two with losses to both of them in the regular season, but I still think we'll be competitive, especially come sectional time. That could be a terrific sectional, and believe it or not, we're just over, a month and a half away from the start of a high school basketball state tournament, which is just hard to believe. But we'll talk with Joe Luce today about his Red Devils. We'll catch up on the recruiting of some of his key players as well. A lot of people want to know what Trey is up to. We'll catch up with him for the very latest. And you know, he's got some interest. He had Nebraska with an offer, some Big Ten interest as well to go along with that offer from Nebraska. We'll find out the latest from Joe Luce when he's with us later today. That's a look at the guest lineup. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I didn't realize this. Looking back on the IU-Nebraska game for just a moment, Indiana, the 51 points that they scored in that game, and mind you, it was a home game, the 51 points they scored, the fewest that IU has scored since back in January 15th of 2015 against a very good Michigan State team. Boy, that point total low for Indiana, especially for a home game. Another little sidebar coming out of the Monday night loss to Nebraska was Archie Miller finally commenting an update in the press conference after the game, or actually before the game with Don Fisher, that Jerome Hunter is going to redshirt. He said, quote, "Physically, he's not able to play right now. It didn't matter about the time. It's all about his recovery and the process of moving forward for him." And again, Archie Miller speaking on Jerome Hunter. He will officially be a redshirt. You can now bump him to the next year, still with his years of eligibility intact. Really never any type of official report. It's a health-related matter, we know. There's HIPAA laws, things like that, that do not mandate and really protect what it is, what the condition is. But obviously, something medically, something with Jerome Hunter not right. You see him at a lot of the games on the sideline in a warm-up suit. He looks okay. It's not like we've seen him around campus for years now and notice his body and every little change if he had been in the lineup now for a couple of years for Indiana. But he sure looks okay. He looks like a normal kid. But obviously something not right with him for him to have to miss as much time as he has, and now for that to become a red shirt for him as well. So the speculation with Jerome and will he redshirt, it's now over. He will redshirt. And he will get ready for next season. We hope. We don't know any details, so it's hard to speculate, but you hope that he's able to play next year. You hope he's able to use maybe some of this season that's still left and maybe the off season to get his body ready and recover from whatever is going on, because whenever the medical issue, whatever it is, subdues or goes away, then you've got to get yourself back into game shape, because if he's not able to play, he sure doesn't look like he's practicing. He's going to have some deterioration on his conditioning and things like that. So let's wish the very best for him, but he will be an official redshirt now for the upcoming season. I mentioned some big high school basketball games this weekend. Probably the biggest, New Albany hosting Silver Creek. The Dragons with a very good team this year, although they lost an upset bid to Brownstown over the weekend, which was a little unexpected. Brownstown stalled it out and played slow ball against the Dragons. They will come to the doghouse. New Albany trying to find its way. Got a couple wins this past weekend against Madison and Scottsburg. I think it'll be a very competitive game, and I think it'll be a game that'll come down to the final few possessions. I think it'll be that type of contest. So a great high school game on Friday. Should be a great crowd. Would not surprise me if it wasn't a sellout. I know we were disappointed with some of the other games like New Albany, Jeff, that was not a sellout. But with it being at New Albany, the season ticket holders that exist there, some of the fans that will come out for that game, and you know that Silver Creek is going to bring a big, big following for that game and want to get their hands on as many tickets as possible. I think it will be sold out Friday night. So if you haven't already, I know Silver Creek has made some time during the day available to buy tickets at their athletics office, so you might call the school and check in, but I would definitely recommend having a ticket before you head out to the game on Friday. Speaking of Friday's game, we will have the broadcast live on the Big X Sports Radio Friday night if you can't make it or for some reason can't get a ticket. Also, high school games this weekend. New Albany plays at Evansville Wrights. The reason I bring that game up, Wrights isn't the Evansville Wrights team you're used to hearing about. They're not a ranked team. They're not a team with a winning record, but they do have 2021 guard prospect, five-star Christian Lander, who, by the way, was at Assembly Hall on Monday night, positioned right behind the IU bench for the Nebraska game, and so New Albany will take on him and his Wrights team on Saturday. I'll be at that game. Look forward to catching up with Christian and getting a chance to see him. It's been a year now since, other than some highlight stuff and maybe an online game or two, that I got to see him up close and personal. And in that last year, his recruiting has exploded. He went from being a guy that was at least on the radar, was beginning to be ranked in some of the national rankings, beginning to make his name very solid here in the state, to a player that has all types of scholarship offers. And at this point, He's been on IU's campus, Louisville's campus, Ohio State's campus, a number of Division I campuses, and those three that I mentioned specifically, he's been on their campuses a number of times as well. So he's still very young in his recruitment and in his development as a player, but he's one of those guys that's been out. He's been taking a look at things, and we'll see how his recruiting continues. I look forward to seeing him on Saturday as well. Here's a fun fact as we wrap up the headline segment. I saw this yesterday, the college basketball programs on Twitter that have the most following. Number one, Duke men's basketball, 2,203,697 followers on Twitter. IU, right there at number two, but still considerably behind Duke. They have 1,088,823 followers on Twitter. Just an FYI, North Carolina third, Kansas fourth, Kentucky fifth. And I think you've got to go to Michigan State would be the next Big Ten team at eighth. And I bring that up because we talk a lot about social media on this program. We use social media a lot on this program. And it's amazing that IU right there at the top behind Duke, although considerably with one of the best followings in college basketball. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Our headlines are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Still ahead as well, Joe Luce, the coach at Jeffersonville. We'll be back with more. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday show. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with me. We'll talk all about IU basketball in this segment. And, Jeff, right now, IU fans are very disappointed in the play of this team. You lose two on the road. Michigan and Maryland are understandable, no question about it. But you come back at home in the friendly confines of Assembly Hall and really never competitive to Nebraska, who leaves with a big victory. A lot of concerns, and rightfully so, different areas of concerns for this team as they move through what continues to be a really, really tough stretch of the schedule.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see the reaction. There's kind of a lot to unpack with where IU is following the Nebraska game. Certainly, I thought IU's effort in the Nebraska game was maybe as bad as it's been all year. Didn't get back on defense. Just there were lots of plays you looked at and you just questioned effort. So I thought that was maybe the biggest thing that jumped out. You know, and I understand part of that is, you know, Fennessy's still not back. You still don't have your point guard back. But, you know, when the other team's going back on a fast break, whoever's on the floor, you know, at minimum you can bust your tail to get back on defense. Little things like that. The other thing that's kind of interesting to me is, you know, in our preseason predictions, I had Nebraska ahead of Indiana, and people said, how in the world can you possibly do that? I said, well, they have better players. And people blew a gasket at me. How can you dare say Nebraska has better players than Indiana? I said, okay, take the jerseys off. Let's do the old thing where you just take the jerseys off. One team has five-star, four-star, very high four-star in its starting lineup. The other team doesn't have that. Which team's better? People all said, well, the team with the five-star and the four-stars. So that's Nebraska. And they're there. Isaiah Copeland was a five-star. And the other guys were four-stars. And Glenn Watson was a very high four-star. So they're better. So I think that's something that gets a little lost in the old perception versus reality situation. And I know people don't want to hear that. Even discussions on the Pigs.com board, you know, tried to lay out, look, here's just roster versus roster. And a lot of people said, well, I don't want to hear it. IU should never lose to Nebraska. But I totally understand that fan feeling. I get that. Simply saying, if you take the jerseys off and you just look at the players, you know, the team that has the better players wins a majority of the time in college sports. It's that old thing. In college sports, especially football and basketball, it's more often about the Jimmies and the Joes and the X's and the O's. And that's just reality. And I think the other thing is when you look at rosters, you know, you can take this to the Maryland game, the Michigan game, or the Nebraska game. You know, there was a coaching change at Indiana because IU had a roster that didn't make the NCAA tournament, couldn't even win a game in the NIT, and it lost its three best players off that team that couldn't even win a single NIT game. And then all of a sudden people expect things to be great a year and a half later when a new coaching staff has one recruiting class. I mean, they've got one recruiting class. And two of those players are starting in Romeo Langford and Robert Phinisee. And one of those players would certainly be playing a significant role, if not starting, if he was healthy, in Jerome Hunter. So you had one recruiting class. And, you know, after the coaching change, even before the new hire was even named, I wrote that I thought this is going to take 3 or 4 years to really get things rebuilt. And people said, well, it should happen faster than that. I said, well, unless IU brings in somebody who is going to do what Kentucky and Duke do and roll through 4 to 5 one-and-dones per year, when you look at successful programs, when you look at Virginia's, when you look at Villanova's, it takes usually about 4 years. And somebody said, no, Jay Wright got it done in a year. I said, Jay Wright's first 3 years at Villanova, NIT, NIT, NIT. Then he got to the NCAA tournament. Then he missed the NCAA tournament. So it takes a while to actually stack recruiting classes. So I understand the fan emotion, and I certainly understand it when there's lack of effort. There's no excuse for lack of effort. I don't care if it's you and me and four of our buddies out there playing basketball. We can put forth effort. So I'm not excusing lack of effort. I'm just simply saying, here's where this thing really is. And when you look at programs that got built as far as not just rolling through one and dones, Villanova is the poster child right now in major college basketball for doing it that way. That's the way IU wants it done. That's the way a lot of IU fans want it done. They you know, now if you get a guy like Romeo Langford, certainly you go after an in-state talent like that without question, even if it's only going to be for 1 year. But I don't get the sense that IU fans really want to become Kentucky. So what's exceptional right now in college basketball? Villanova, Jay Wright first 3 years, NIT. Why? It took a while to stack recruiting classes. So to me, that's the biggest key for Indiana, is to stack good recruiting classes. And then we'll see where they are in 3 or 4 years.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, is my guest. My next question, and I guess this sort of stuff, I'm glad you're on with us today, because you watch this stuff and rewatch it and break it down, and I just know Jeff Rabjohns and how you watch and cover this stuff. It seems to me, and I know other people have said this as well, but a lot of standing in many of IU's offensive possessions. Your thoughts on that and what Indiana maybe should do or could do to become a little bit more potent on offense? They just seem to be standing around a lot. And even Romeo, you find him standing on one side of the floor or the other. There's not a ton of movement at times for this team unless they're in transition, and sometimes in transition they look very good.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because their offensive field goal percentage is very high. They lead the Big Ten. They're, depending upon who plays on a given night, they're like number 2 or 3 in the country in field goal percentage. The thing is that they try to get the ball inside because Juwan Morgan is incredibly efficient when he gets the ball in the paint. He gets points or he gets free throws. And the other thing where they're incredibly efficient is Romeo Langford on drives. You know, he's getting points on nearly 90% of his drives, either a score or free throws. But when you try to get the ball inside, you've got to kind of create space by keeping guys out of the way and letting the guy inside try to work to his spot. Sometimes that creates some stagnation for other players, because you're really just kind of trying to kind of move the ball around a little bit on the perimeter while you let your inside guy work, and then you're trying to dump the ball inside to him. That kind of offense, while it's incredibly efficient, it doesn't lend itself to a lot of movement, because you really don't want the interior guy moving around. You don't want a bunch of guys cutting baseline, because you don't want to drag an extra defender down there where you're trying to get the ball. You want to try to give the guy in the paint as much space as possible. So sometimes you got a guy in a corner, a guy in an opposite corner, and you know, two guys kind of doing a dribble handoff just to kind of move the ball to the spot where you want to try to make the entry pass. You know, so that's part of it. The other thing is they really struggle shooting from three. And they really struggle shooting from three. Their percentages have just not been very high for much of the season at all. And that's another thing. It's kind of like, hey, if you're not going to go out and take a lot of threes, where do you want to, how much do you want to move the ball? Just left, right, corner, up. You know, you're probably not going to run a lot of staggered screens to get somebody, you know, coming, you know, baseline and up. You're probably not going to do a ton of pin downs. Because, you know, why are you throwing the ball to a guy in a certain spot off of a screen if he's not going to, you know, if he's not a very good three-point shooter? So that also leads to a little bit of stagnation. But, you know, do I think more ball movement would help him? Yeah, I really do. All that I just said explaining why sometimes it looks stagnant, I do think they, you know it would help them to move it more, to try more ball screens. I would certainly try more ball screens with guys who can actually roll to the basket, specifically Juwan with Romeo. You know, even Justin Smith, you know, he's gotten better at catching things on the move and finishing them. I'm not too sure you want him outside taking a ton of threes or anything, but, you know, set him to where he can do a screen and roll, do something to get some more movement. You know, in Indiana's three-point percentage, you know, the percentage isn't bad, 35.3%, but the problem is there's just so few makes per game. There's just so few guys out there that you look at and say, do we want this guy taking threes? And I think that's kind of, you know, a little bit of a problem. And I think their percentage is a little bit skewed. You know, some guys, you know, you got Juwan Morgan out there who's 17 for 41 for 42%. So his percentage really kind of kicks things up. You know, Al Durham's probably been the best three-point shooter of the outside guys, the perimeter guys. He's 19 to 46 for 41%. So you got a couple guys who are making them, a couple regular players who are making them at a decent rate. Evan Fitzner's still at 39%, 10 for 26. But he just hasn't been able to get threes recently. And I think, you know, Big Ten teams have figured out what he is and what he isn't. So you're going to have to try to get creative to get him some shots. So I think that's part of it, too. But, yeah, overall, I use offense. It's efficient as far as percentages. It's really not very much of, you know, it's not motion. It's not designed right now with the players you have. To have a whole lot of all five guys moving at the same time.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Want to ask you about Clifton Moore. He's received more minutes in recent games than what he had. A lot of fans calling for him to get more opportunities in the game for IU. He's been able to capitalize on the time that he's gotten, I think. Do you think we'll continue to see him? And maybe is the possibility there for us to see more minutes logged by Moore in forthcoming games?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible, because the guy you kind of look at out there probably is Fitzner. And as far as, okay, you know, where would you get minutes? You look at Fitzner, I think, first. Maybe when he was healthy, you look at Daron. But Daron Davis hasn't been healthy for a while, so it's not like you're really flipping those minutes. The bigger question is, you know, do you kind of flip some of Evan Fitzner and Clifton Moore's minutes? And I think that's very reasonable, and something Archie Miller actually talked about a week or so ago, that, you know, the way Clifton was starting to really come on in practice, that he was probably going to get to see some more minutes. I think that makes sense. Clifton, obviously, he's got good elevation, a little bit of a pogo stick out there, and that he's got that second bounce. He can go up and get rebounds. He has potential to block some shots coming off the weak side. He's got pretty solid hands. You know, he can catch stuff and score. He's not really a post man. He was never a post player in high school or AAU. He much more caught the ball as a face-up guy, put it on the deck going left or right, hit the 12 to 15-footer. That was his game. And he doesn't have nearly the weight to play. He doesn't have the weight or the strength to actually play down on the block with leverage. So I don't think you're going to see him doing that, but I think you're going to see him in the game more. The one thing you got to be careful with is if you have him out there with Juwan Morgan, you kind of need to keep Morgan at the five because have Clifton to try to draw somebody outside, because if you look at some of the advanced stats, some of the coaching stuff, Juwan Morgan scores really well when he's defended by fives because he's got a little bit of a quickness advantage and he knows how to use angles, whether that's going around a guy or that little up and under move he has. If you look at the scoring percentages, when he's defended by fours, guys who are 6'7", 6'8", and are quick, his scoring percentages just plummet. I mean, they really plummet. He becomes not only not an outstanding player, he becomes almost a guy you look at and say, okay, what exactly is his value? So you got to be careful to try to continue to give Morgan the offensive advantage by having him defended by fives, which is essentially what led to his transformation last year when he went from averaging around 7.7 points per game to nearly doubling that. So that's something to keep a watch on as well. But overall, yeah, I think I would look to try to get Clifton more some minutes, as long as he keeps earning them in practice. And that's a big thing with Archie is, like, you know, at minimum you have to earn it in practice. And Clifton Moore's been doing that, and I think Moore's a guy you look at next few games and maybe he gets some more minutes here and there. I think, you know, the next game obviously might be a tough one, but I still think, you know, for his development and for maybe trying to get him some confidence over the last couple months of the season, you know, I think I would still work toward trying to get him some more minutes on the floor.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, my guest on this Wednesday. One of the things we found out before the Nebraska game is that Jerome Hunter, freshman, will become a redshirt. That is now official and has been announced to the public. Coach Miller telling Don Fisher that during the pregame coverage. No real details on exactly what's going on with Jerome. He looks healthy when he's on the sideline. He looks like a normal college freshman that you would expect as some sort of athlete if you just passed him on campus or saw him at the basketball game. But obviously something not right for him to miss this much time and for that now to become a redshirt. It's hard to even discuss because you just don't know too much about what's going on. But let's hope that whatever it is going on with him is cleared, corrected, okay for him, not by next season to play, but to take advantage of some of this offseason to get back in shape and to get some time on the court. We can only hope that that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try not to get myself into trouble here, but, it's a basic situation where after he had the leg condition that they discovered, they looked at various options, what kind of surgery to have, and had a number of experts weigh in and ended up going out to the Cleveland Clinic and having the surgery done. And it's, it's pretty significant surgery. Although it's like the old phrase is, what is minor surgery? Minor surgery is a surgery that somebody else has, not you. So, but it was, you know, I would say, you know, pretty significant surgery. And it's right now it's all about recovery and getting him, you know, fully recovered. Everything that I have heard is the expectation is that he will be able to play next year and that he probably will be able to get back to it at some point this summer. Bodies heal at different rates. Sometimes you can be moving along. You're 40%, then you're 45, then you're 50, maybe jump up to 60. You know, you may get a 10% bump 1 week. Or you may only get a 2%. So healing of bodies doesn't always happen in a straight line on a graph, but the expectations are good. So that's kind of where it's at right now. But he's nowhere near ready to play. I know some people got excited when they saw him. Somebody posted a video on Twitter, and I tried to tell people, I'm like, he's not ready. He's not ready. He's not even close. That was a kid that took his shirt off, went out there in blue jeans, and hit a three from about 30 foot. And it had nothing to do with anything because he is not ready to play major college basketball right now, and he is not even remotely close to playing major college basketball right now. But I think he's going to be fine in time. I mean, the formal redshirt announcement is great, but I don't think, you know, even if they had announced it, there was no expectation of Jerome Hunter playing at all this year after the surgery, the type of surgery that he had. But I do think, you know, he'll have the redshirt year, obviously, and I do think that it's most likely, you can't say for sure with these kind of things, but all indications suggest, you know, he will be ready to play next year.
Jeff, a couple or one more question before we let you go. Maybe some quick thoughts you have on IU's next challenge, which is a road game Saturday at rival Purdue.
Yeah, well, I mean, Purdue's actually, you know, been playing a lot better recently, I thought. Especially, you know, that road win they had at Wisconsin, 84-80 in overtime, that was pretty notable. I think, you know, they've won, what is it, five of their last six? The loss in there was a road game at Michigan State. But, you know, their offense has been really, really productive. I mean, their last five wins, I was looking at this morning, they scored 95, 73, 86, 84, and 89 points. They're really productive on offense right now. Carson Edwards obviously is phenomenal. He's a big problem for anybody to guard because he can just create so much. And he can create space with a live dribble, whether he's on the move or outside the arc. And that's a big problem. You know, Nojel Eastern started to play a little bit better. You know, Ryan Klein from Carmel's out there making threes. You know, Matt Harms has been, you know, reasonably solid, I would say, most of this stretch. You know, and you even got guys like, you know, 6'9 Trevion Williams, who's, you know, becoming a little bit more helpful off the bench. Sasha Stefanovic is pretty solid. You know, even Evan Boudreau, you know, the grad transfer has been a little more helpful as of late. So it's really interesting to watch them play. I think, you know, obviously for IU, the biggest challenge is Carson Edwards. But I think the other challenge is you can't make it all about Carson Edwards. I think teams sometimes, and I know Wisconsin did this during a stretch, it seemed like they got consumed with Carson Edwards. And then, you know, Ryan Klein hits a three. I think Matt Harms scored inside. Nojel Eastern got free on a drive. And obviously Carson's scary because, you know, he's one of the best scorers in college basketball, you know, a legitimate Big Ten Player of the Year type candidate. But I think sometimes the mistakes teams make is just getting all caught up in him and almost forgetting that there's other guys on the floor. Because you look at how Michigan State played against him. And they did a great job against Carson Edwards, holding him to 11 points, but they didn't let anybody else get off either. And I thought that was kind of notable. But I really liked the way Michigan State approached the defense against Purdue. IU doesn't have the personnel to do that. They just don't have those kind of guys. But it was a pretty interesting, you know, game plan as far as just trying to push Carson to certain sides. But right now with IU point guard Robert Fennessy still working his way back into being fully in shape after, you know, game shape, I mean, you know, after having to be out basically from the Butler game to the Maryland game. I think they've got a pretty big challenge in front of them. And I would say, I think, you know, playing at Purdue, I would say Purdue probably walks in as a solid 8-10 point favorite. I think it's going to be a pretty tall task for IU up there this weekend.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, always with us Wednesdays on the program. Jeff, as always, thanks for the insight. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
My pleasure, man. Hope to see you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk with Joe Luce, his Jeffersonville team, playing some great basketball here in Southern Indiana. They had a terrific win over Floyd Central, big Hoosier Hills Conference win over the weekend. We'll talk about that and a lot more coming up with Coach Luce next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this final segment. We'll talk with Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce. His team is 9-3 over the past weekend. They recorded a big win in exciting fashion over Floyd Central, and also a win earlier this month over rival New Albany as well. Coach Luce, welcome in. Congrats on a great season. It's a good time to be a Red Devil.
Yeah, we've had a couple good wins that we hope to build up on and continue our season going in the right direction. Thanks.
Obviously, we know a lot about your team at this point, some of the big names, some of the players that have stepped up and played well for your team. But you've got a group of guys that collectively, when they play together, can beat, I think, just about anyone in the state of Indiana. What has most impressed you about this group so far this season?
We didn't defend very well early, and we've gotten better at defending in the half court. Our man-to-man has been really solid. I thought we did a good job of, getting ourselves in the right position against Floyd Central, and even though Kobe Barnes is, about as impossible to stop as anybody I've had a chance to scout and play against in a long time, we were able to take away some other guys and able to limit, his touches. If he missed, which wasn't very often, they didn't get second chance opportunities, which to me is probably the most important part of defense as anything, and that's rebounding a basketball. So, we played really well in the half court. This group's gotten better, since we gave up 93 points to Attucks, and, it was really also, I think, done a really good job of mixing in some other stuff. We played some zone. We pressed a little bit here and there. We were able to run and jump against Providence to get us started and hopefully, get us on a trend of playing better on Saturdays. And it is. It's a talented team that, if we keep improving and keep playing to get better each and every day, can be a team that can continue to pull out some good wins.
Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce, my guest. We're all familiar with Trey Coleman, and I want to talk about him here in a moment and his recruiting specifically. Jacob Jones as well, some of the key names in Red Devil basketball in your time there is building the program. But a new name, a transfer in this year, Darren Starks, didn't start off the season necessarily hot, but in that last, you can help me out here, 2-3 weeks, maybe longer, he's had some really big point performances and good performances overall for you guys, and that kind of was highlighted by a last-second three-pointer that dropped through the basket as your team was able to, a mild upset over Floyd Central Friday night at William S. Johnson Arena. He's been a welcomed and a big addition to your team.
Yeah, Darren definitely is a guy that's helped our basketball team in so many ways, much more in the locker room probably than even on the court. And I think on the court, he's probably surprised a lot of people and I know has been a pleasant surprise for us. But this guy's just quality. He's a winner. He's a high character kid. He brings it every day and he helps others play at their best. He expects others to act right, to pay attention to practice. And, he's gotten more comfortable with our team as the season's gone forward. And I think a lot of our maturity that we've seen with some of our players has a direct correlation with Darren and some of the success they've had on the floor, giving more confidence off the floor. As far as on the floor, I mean, numbers speak for themselves. He's averaging a little over 12 a game. I think he's had three games of 20-plus points and, shot the three almost at 58% from the three-point line, which is quite amazing. So doing a good job on the floor. Also, defensively, he's been able to, take opposing ball handler, out of the game lots of times. And I thought did a great job this past weekend and against New Albany in defending, the guys he was matched up against.
Talking to Joe Luce, he's Jeffersonville's head coach. His team 9-3 with a victory over the weekend against Floyd Central. Trey Coleman, his recruiting, we had some updates. We talked with Trey in the offseason. An offer from Nebraska, who got a big win at Assembly Hall on Monday night. He had some other interests from Big Ten teams and a number of other offers from mid-major type college programs as well. Anything new with him, and how do you think he's played so far this season, both in the context of helping your team, but also as developing and becoming a college prospect that's likely going to play the game at the Division I level?
Sure. You know, the one thing we always remind our guys, and I think it's important for all, you know, high school kids to remember is, you know, they very seldom recruit losers. And, you know, winning at a high level in your high school program, I think, separates you from, you know, the many of hundreds and thousands of other guys that are similar to you. Just like your grades separate you and your character separates you, there are a lot of great players, but those are things that are important. And, you know, Trey's done that, you know, very much this season. His grades were as high as they've been since he started high school, outstanding in the classroom, had a very good first semester. He's done a really good job, you know, in my opinion, on the floor, helping us to a good start at 9-3. And he's shown an ability to be a good high-character guy that leads. And, you know, the one thing about Trey is that he is full of ability and has lots of, you know, upside. He's done a good job of making himself, you know, a multi-threat player that can go inside and outside. He's, you know, he shot the basketball well from the three-point line when he shot it. He's shooting 61% overall from the field. So he's putting the ball in a hole, and defensively many times he draws the other team's best player. So he's done a lot to help us to get off to a good start. I think we'll continue to put us in a position to win some big games, and along with all of the you know, the things that you know, I talked about, you know, as far as off the floor, I think you're going to continue to see him grow and develop as a player, and as teams get back into the recruiting, you know, element, you know, that they sometimes get away from when conference season starts. You're going to see more high majors pick up you know, lots of interest in Trey, and also I think, you know, there aren't too many mid majors that wouldn't take him at this point if they were interested.
Joe Luce of Jeffersonville is my guest. It's hard, as a fan and as someone who follows all of it, it's hard to not think ahead to the sectional. I know there's still a ton of regular season basketball to be played. Your team has played 12 of its 22 games in regular season, so still a long way to go. But in a month and a half, we'll be there. And looking at the scores and the results and the rivalries, of course, between New Albany and Jeff and Floyd Central and that trio of 4A schools, it's hard to not think that once again Seymour could be the place to be with the sectional this year. Now that you guys have beat New Albany, beaten Floyd Central, what's the message to your team as you play out the rest of this season and as you start to think about sectional here a month or so down the road?
Our message this week is to beat Columbus East and, you know, give ourselves undefeated in the conference. You know, I don't think you can win championships, you know, multiple championships or even championships if you don't, you know, if you don't take care of it each and every week. And you don't want to backdoor into anything. You know, we want to control our own destiny, get that first championship by winning the Hoosier Hills, and then, you know, from there, seeing what we can do once we enter into tournament play. But it'll definitely be a balanced field. I think we've probably, you know, stirred up the beehive a little bit, you know, in a couple communities with a couple of these wins. And I'm sure that those teams will be, you know, ready to play, you know, once we get to March. And, you know, I also haven't mentioned, you know, Bedford North Lawrence, that I think is going to be a huge player, not only in this conference race, but in that sectional tournament. Haven't played as well as they wanted to, but a talented team that I think will get better as the season winds down. And, you know, also, you know, just the fact that you go into that thing with, you know, some teams that have been beaten that have not been beaten in the past, that will come in with a little bit of a, you know, an edge to revenge some victories. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full to continue to win out and take care of our business, win the conference. And then, you know, obviously we'll go into that sectional tournament, you know, wanting to take care of business and move on in the state tournament.
Coach, before we let you go, how about a quick update on your son Tommy, who is at Purdue and getting the opportunity to be part of some very fun moments in the Big Ten season now that conference play is back underway for the rest of the season. And, of course, a big one, a rivalry game coming up at Mackey on Saturday when the Hoosiers, who desperately need a win, come to town.
Sure. You know, he got a chance to play you know, almost 5 minutes last night in the Rutgers win. And, you know, with Purdue and a little bit of their up and down season, it's it's always a good thing if Tommy gets some minutes, because that means the Boilers are playing well. So hopefully he'll get on the floor some more games coming up. But I'm sure Saturday probably won't be one of them. That's going to be a great game that, again, just for him and for our family, just an awesome opportunity for him to experience a once-in-a-lifetime memory of being a part of those games each and every year. And you watch it as a kid, you watch it as a coach, a dad growing up, and then to have your son even as just a part of the team in any way that they can be. But, Tommy just being there to support as much as anything, it's really rewarding to be able to know that he's a part of that and, a part of a great rivalry that will definitely add another piece of history to that that great series on Saturday. So he's doing great. He can't ask for more. His grades are awesome, and he just continues to be a big supporter of all of his teammates.
Absolutely. Joe Luce, the coach at Jeff. Coach, thanks for the update, and congratulations on some big wins this season for your Red Devils. We'll talk with you again soon as the season moves right along, I'm sure.
All right, thanks for checking in. Good to talk to you.
All right, Joe Luce at Jeffersonville with us as we wrap up this Wednesday program. Don't forget, we do this each weekday at 11 o'clock. Great to be back with you today after a couple days off because I just simply had no voice. But a lot of fun this week still to come as IU gets ready for Purdue, a big game on Saturday. And, of course, if you miss our program live, it's replayed at 3 o'clock. You can catch it there. And if you can't listen to it live or listen to the replay, we've got you covered on podcast as well. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. On SoundCloud, just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And on Apple Podcast, you can search for the Hoosier Report and find us that way as well. Lots of things coming this week. We'll continue to preview IU and Purdue. We'll get you ready for some of the big games this weekend as well. We've got our high school basketball, our Southern Indiana basketball report tomorrow. We'll take a look at our game of the week and some of the other big performers and player of the week for the last seven or so days of high school basketball. So a lot to come this week. We hope you'll be with us each day at 11 o'clock. That wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.